Verizon just did something it hasn't done in more than a decade, a March quarter postpaid phone gain, and raised guidance while steering into fiber-first convergence. I'm Alex.
I'm Taylor. Let's get specific. Verizon added 55,000 postpaid phone subscribers in Q1 2026, according to Reuters and The Star, and lifted its adjusted EPS outlook to $4.95 to $4.99, up from $4.90 to $4.95. Shares popped about 3% pre-market. Management also guided full-year retail postpaid phone net adds to the upper half of 750,000 to 1 million.
But the revenue picture was mixed. Wireless service revenue fell 1.7% this quarter, per Morningstar, and average revenue per postpaid wireless account declined 1.9%. About half of that ARPA drop was the $20 outage credits to hundreds of thousands of customers. The rest points to pricing pressure.
The cost side helped. Customer metrics improved versus last year's 289,000 loss, and adjusted EBITDA rose 6.7% after last year's roughly 13,000 headcount reduction. Verizon also repurchased $2.5 billion of stock, its first buyback in a decade. That's a capital allocation signal.
Sustainability is the test. Management teased new wireless plans shortly, with fewer phone promos. If they pull back subsidies while still chasing net adds, who benefits?
Potentially, the whole sector. Morningstar notes AT&T and T-Mobile are moving the same way. Less device subsidy, more account value. If subsidy amortization rolls off through 2026 and churn normalizes, service revenue can stabilize even as promo intensity falls. The flip side, if churn doesn't normalize, pulling promos hurts ads and ARPA.
And Verizon's been eerily quiet, as Fierce pointed out, hinting at a new value proposition without details. Until that lands, competitive response risk is real, especially if AT&T or T-Mobile undercut the pitch.
On broadband, the pivot is clear. Verizon surpassed 6 million fixed wireless access subs, but said it will prioritize fiber. CEO Dan Schulman, fiber has inherent advantages. We're going to prioritize fiber where we have coverage. Expect a mix shift toward fiber, with convergence as the growth engine.
That mix shift has constraints. Verizon still targets 8 to 9 million FWA subs by 2028, but net FWA adds slowed to 214,000, the 10th straight quarter of lower year-over-year net adds, per Light Reading. Capacity is improving with lower C-band, but spectrum is finite, and the FCC's upper C-band auction still sits ahead.
The fiber math looks sturdier. Verizon added 127,000 fiber subs on reported numbers, and adjusting for about 28,000 Frontier subs added pre-close. Moffitt Nathanson pegs the real net fiber add around 155,000, roughly flat year over year. They ended the quarter with 10.75 million fiber subs and target more than 32 million fiber passings by end 2026, stretching to 40 to 50 million over the medium term. Partnerships and potential acquisitions are on the table.
M&A isn't a free lunch. Fiber deals stretch balance sheets. Morningstar even preferred debt reduction over buybacks to prep for future auctions. If Verizon pursues more Eaton Fiber-style deals while buying back stock, that's a capital allocation tension.
Convergence economics are the why. Verizon's mobile-to-broadband attachment is about 55%. In the newly acquired Frontier footprint, they're cross-selling hard. Four mobile lines for $20 per month or a single line for $40, iPhone 17 on us with each new line, plus up to $800 to pay off phones when switching to Verizon Mobile. That raises switching costs and shifts bargaining power toward carriers that can sell the whole household.
Which brings us to the bundle race. Omdia flags AT&T's One Connect, a hard bundle of fiber broadband plus mobile, one phone up to three tablets watches for $90 per month, taxes and fees included. That's the first true hard bundle from a Tier 1 U.S. telco. Simple pricing boosts take rate, and again, increases switching costs.
But it only scales where AT&T has fiber. In non-fiber areas, they lean on FWA as a bridge, a weaker persona against cable DOCSIS and Verizon's own fiber. Translation, AT&T wins where it has fiber. Cable still has leverage where it doesn't. Timing matters. Watch One Connect rollout in Q2 to Q3.
Cable's counter is MVNO scale plus price locks. Comcast's Q1 broadband losses improved to 65,000 from 183,000, and it added 435,000 mobile lines to 9.7 million total. They're pairing 1 gigabit per second with Peacock and Disney Plus Hulu for $60 with a 5-year price guarantee. Money is flowing from pure broadband ARPU into sticky bundles that blend connectivity and content.
T-Mobile is reframing the scorecard. Starting with 1Q26 reporting, they're focusing on accounts and ARPA, not line counts, which aligns with convergence. Measure the household, not just handset ads. We said last week, T-Mobile's slicing and SA core gave it an operational edge. But account-level reporting can add opacity and mask line churn. For analysts, the data could cut both ways.
One more lever, AI. Shulman outlined an AI-native stack, substantially complete by July and fully done by November, with partners Google and Anthropic. Early results, customer satisfaction up 1,285 basis points in tests, 85% autonomous network issue resolution, and over $200 million in energy cost savings. That's OpEx and CX moving together.
Impressive. But AI won't fix pricing or fill fiber holes by itself. There's operational friction, too. Contractors say Verizon's RFPs squeeze economics, and Nate asked the FCC to intervene. If rollout velocity slips, fiber ambitions slow. Net, winners are the carriers with fiber and clean execution. Losers are footprints stuck on FWA, where cable's DOCSIS still outguns them. Over the next 2 to 3 quarters, watch fiber passings march toward 32 million, and mobile attachment hold near or above 55%.
The one big thing to watch, Verizon's new plans. If the value proposition lands this quarter, and Q2 reporting shows postpaid phone net adds holding while promo expense drops, that confirms real momentum and sector-wide pricing discipline. If not, subsidy creep returns. That's all for today.